Amen. I say this a lot, but it's a good day to be a Christian. I thank the Lord for everything He's done in my life, and I couldn't help but think, during that song Kathy sang, you know, he said, the law said seven times. Jesus said seven times 70, and he was meaning mercy is unlimited. And I was sitting there thinking, I've used up seven times 70 in my own personal life. Amen. And it's magnified by a group just in here. I'm not standing here pointing out that everybody's guilty, but the Word of God says everybody's guilty. So.
Yeah, that spiritual perfection magnified 70 times.
Amen. There you go. Amen. You know, here we talked about that number study and what's it going to pertain to, and we've been talking about it for 3 weeks. Any effort to study the Word of God is fruitful.
Amen.
Is fruitful. If we're seeking the Word of God, if we're seeking the truth, whether it be through numbers or whatever it might be, if we're seeking the truth, it is fruitful in our daily walks. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for everything this morning. I had no idea where it was going to go today. Got a lot on my proverbial plate today. But you know, God will supply. He will supply all of our needs. He'll get us through these hard times that we're experiencing the last month, whatever. But it goes on. It's a continuous cycle. We got people going on to heaven. And we got babies coming into the world. It's a God-created cycle. It's part of life, as Grandpa Charlie told us. It's part of life. And when Jesus Christ is the focal point in your life, it's all okay. It's all okay. Say praises to the Lord this morning. Remember our pastor. He wanted to be here. My heart feels for him. He's doing what he's got to do, but he would rather be here. We got to lift him up in prayer. And you know, when you talking with folks, you don't know, you don't have much in common, what do you usually talk about? The weather. The weather always comes up. And I was thinking about the weather this week. At work, you know, it's always, oh, I can't wait till this winter's over. I can't wait till summer. We'll complain when it's hot. We'll complain when it's cold. I tell them a lot. I say, now in eternity, we won't be able to complain. Why? You ask, why? Hell will be consistent. It's not changing. And heaven will be perfect.
Amen.
It's not changing. And I give glory to God for weather. So I was looking out there and thinking about the weather and thinking it pertains to each and every one of us. When we all go out that door here in a bit, we're all going to deal with whatever the weather throws at us. So that made me start thinking about weather in general. And I come up with the words climate and environment. Well, that's two different words. But this pea brain, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, don't they mean the same thing? So I did a little research, and here's what I've found, and you will see how it's going to pertain to us this morning in our personal lives. Climate means the temperature, precipitation, winds, characteristics of a region. Okay, as soon as we go out, you know, we're going to experience that. Number two is a region in reference to its weather. Number three is a prevailing trend or condition in human affairs. And I couldn't help but think, in this climate right here where we're at, a couple weeks ago we had a couple from Florida, and they live in a totally different climate. In fact, he was talking about after services, he said, "All you guys live in hollers, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We live in flats. It was funny to hear you guys say hollers." And I said, "Well, yeah, we all live in holler. You know, you live on top of the holler or down in the holler." And then this morning, We got our good friends from Michigan, which is the total opposite of Florida. They live up there with almost where the Eskimos live and stuff, we hear, you know. So, but that's going to show the variances of climates. And now environment, it means the external circumstances, conditions, and things that affect the existence and development of an individual, organism, or a group. Number two is the act of surroundings or being surrounded. And number three, it's the environment is just your surroundings. So there is a bit of a difference. They can mean the same. And once I get going, I won't be able to remember what the difference is. But just remember, climate is the air around you, so to speak, and your environment is the physical surroundings, I suppose. Couldn't help but think about our church environment. I knew we'd be in an environment this morning, and that's a physical thing. Now, if we'd have had lights were dim and boards pulled up and, you know, it had been real chaotic, we wouldn't have made a comfortable, really, environment for us to worship in this morning. And some folks need a comfortable environment. What I'm getting at is you need something inviting, something comfortable, something that pertains to our purpose for being here. That is a good part of our environment. Our singing was a good part of our environment. We all participated. Our Sunday school lesson is a good part of our environment. We're talking about our surroundings. And I couldn't help but think about in our worlds, in our life, each of us have an individual life here. We work at different places. We live in different homes. We live in different towns. We live in hollers. We live on ridges. But it's about our surroundings. It's about the environment you live in. And you know I'm going to get at our spiritual environment. How's your spiritual environment today? How's your spiritual climate today? That's what we're going to be getting at. I was thinking about our own environment. We here at Drift Run, our main purpose is to serve Christ, is to preach Him, that He is glorified, that everything done is to bring attention to the glory of God. Okay? Okay. How about your life? How is your personal environment? How is your personal climate? Do you have hope, truth, and the Word of God? Do you trust in Jesus fully and completely this morning? Here's a story I heard a preacher tell one time, and I'm not going to get it 100% to the words he said exactly, I'm sure. But this is a story of a man who was waiting on God to save him during a storm. And the floods was coming up, and they had warned him ahead of time. They needed to move, to clear the area. But he said, "Nope, I'm staying here. I'm waiting on God's going to save me." A neighbor come over to help him evacuate, to get his stuff out before the water had risen. "Nope, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to ride it out." Well, the water's rising. It's coming up. And here comes a guy in the boat. He said, "Now, come on, jump in and I'll get you out of here. I can still get some of your stuff." "Nope, I'm going to ride her out. I'm going to stay here, wait on God." Well, the water keeps rising more. And he's up on the roof of the house, stranded. Here comes another guy in the boat. He says, "I'm here to help you." The guy says, "No, I'm waiting on God to come and take me." The man drowned. And in heaven, the man asked, said, "God, why didn't you save me? God, why didn't you save me?" And God said, "I tried three times. I tried three times to save you." The point of that is our circumstances. That guy's first environment was it's coming. He was warned it was coming. God sent something to save him. Second one, He was in the midst of turmoil. He was in a hopeless case. God sent someone to save him. And last, he was ready to go under. And there again, God sent someone to save him.
Amen. Amen.
And he refused it. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 1. I'm going to read verses. I'm going to start with verse 8. And this is going to describe a climate of bondage. A climate of bondage. And as we're looking to that, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we bow here before you this morning to proclaim you as God, proclaim you in control, and to give you glory through everything that's said and done here this morning. Lord, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your comfort. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move upon us, Lord. Touch each and every one of our hearts to lead us to receive the message out of the Word of God, not from the word of man. Lord, I ask for you to get me out of the way, Lord. And I pray for those who couldn't be here this morning. And I ask especially, Lord, you give our preacher a hug right now, Lord. Again, I ask for your forgiveness. These favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I was thinking about the environment and stuff, I couldn't help but think about going back to the Israelites. And this is a climate of bondage. Verse 8 says, Now I'm going to read verse 7 first. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. And this is when they were in Egypt, and they had been there under Joseph, and they were being successful. They were welcomed. They were living good. Everything was comfortable. But it says in verse 8, says, Now there arose a new king over Egypt and knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it shall come to pass that when they falleth out any war, they join against the enemy and fight against us. So get them out of the land. So they, as you read on, they set taskmasters over them. They made them become servants. They were in a climate of bondage. They were forced to do to serve these pharaohs, to serve these kings. And look at the way the world is today. I think a lot about people that's unsaved, that the world is trapped in a climate of bondage. They're tied into their sin nature. They're tied into their vices. They're tied into their wants. They're tied into what the world tells them, and believe it. The world right now is in a climate of bondage. Let's move over to Exodus chapter 13. And we'll read verse 14. They're in a climate of bondage, and here's where God steps in. Exodus chapter 13, verse 14 says, And it shall be when thy son ask thee in time to come, saying, What is this that thou shalt say, By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, think about yourself right here today. Christian or not Christian, because you can be a Christian and still be bound. You can be a Christian and still let the world hold you back. You can still be a Christian today and be miserable, so to speak, because you haven't shucked them chains off that Jesus had the key for, and they're unlocked.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You can kick them off this morning. But if you're not saved this morning, you're bound up. God made a way. It says, Let it be known that the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. We're going to talk about a climate of fear. A climate of fear. Now think about that. There's a lot of fear in the world today. Unsaved people, they see something's wrong in our country. They see something's wrong in this world, because it's running rapid. Where evil is good and good is evil. Right is wrong and wrong is right. That's the climate of fear right now. And if you're a Christian, you're afraid to proclaim your Christianity. You're afraid of persecution. You don't have to be. You win. He is worthy of our praise. If you are persecuted for Christ's name's sake, you will be blessed among men. Don't live in a climate of fear. Exodus 14, verse 10 through 12 says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh," now they have left Egypt and they're fleeing. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." Is that where you're at today in your Christian life? That you're ready to tap out, as Dave preached to us one time? They were ready to go back to bondage because they lived in a climate of fear. We'll read on. Verse 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not." Now listen, this is the word of God talking to us in our climate of fear today. If you live in a climate of fear today, listen closely to these words. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Those that are persecuting you, those that you are afraid of, God will put you in a place you will see them no more. It might be when we get to heaven. But you will see them no more. Do not live. We do not have to live in a climate of fear. We do not have to live under intimidation. If you're a Christian here this morning, you serve a God that created each and everything. You serve a God that made a way. Amen. He parted that sea. And let them go across on dry ground. And those in pursuit were washed away, never to be seen again. God's promises come true. Amen. You can stand on the promises of God. Going forward, let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Start reading verse 10. And you'll recognize some of this if you've ever read the Romans Road. But here's going to talk about some more of the climates. This is a climate of lost. This is a climate of hopelessness. This is a climate of no chance to have a relationship with the Lord. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." So who's that include? Me. Each and every one. Any person that's ever lived on this world, in this earth, is in that verse right there. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Flip over to Romans 3:23. Says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the climate. Let's go to verse 5:12. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That's when we came into the hopeless climate. "And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Are you clear on it? That we're all lost, that we're all unworthy, that we're all sinners, that we all live in that climate. I'm going to read verse 5:8. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth." What? How's that start out? Listen to that. "But God commendeth." When He told us we were all lost, but He took the step. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who's changing our climate? Who's giving us an opportunity? Who's changing our surroundings? God is. God's putting the effort out to save our souls. God's putting the effort out to give us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. Okay, it's been determined we're all sinners. So what we get for that sin is death. And that is total separation from God. That is not death in this physical life. That is the spiritual death. That is eternal separation from God. But the gift of God, a gift is something free, something given, something you couldn't earn. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now he's changing our environment. He changed our surroundings. We were alone and without hope, but he sent Jesus into our environment. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit in your environment. And I know it says when two or three or however it is exactly, are gathered in his name. I'm here in his name. Who else? Anybody else? Okay, we got a couple others. We got enough to cover it. He's among us. I believe that this morning. He is among us. He is here. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. Get back where that. Romans 10:9. Here we go. 10:9. Powerful scriptures in the Word of God right here. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The climate's changed right there, hadn't it? God made a way. He sent his Son and gave us the opportunity that we don't have to live in a hopeless state. That we don't have to live in a hopeless climate. That we don't have to live in an environment that's full of sin. Which the world is, but that makes me think about, now, can you do something about your surroundings? Think about it. And it comes to my mind, and I'm big on listening to Christian music. Okay, and nothing against any other music. There's a lot of it out there that proclaims everything but Christ. But if you want to change your environment, you want to make it a positive environment, you want to make it a better climate in your own personal life, turn your climate control to Praise FM or K-Love or something that promotes Christ, something that promotes love and forgiveness, not beer drinking and chasing women and... I mean, I listened to all that. I did. And I like ZZ Top, man. I was into that stuff. But that stirred emotions in me that didn't create a good environment in my life. About 10 years ago, I started switching stations. And it's really helped. I mean, I'm telling you. There's a sermon in every hymn. There's a sermon in every one of these hymns. And there's a sermon in a lot of them songs on K-Love, on Praise FM, Walk FM. There's a lot of opportunities out there. We used to think, well, there ain't nothing I can find to listen to. Well, you ain't looking because it's there. I got six buttons on there and every one of them. And don't think I'm saying, look what I do. I'm not. But there is that many stations locally. And then as soon as you get out of this area, there's K-Loves everywhere. Really. Even up in the mountains, up there, way up there, and them hollers up there. Yeah. There is encouraging You can create an environment to serve the Lord, to help you be encouraged. Okay. God changed the climate through Jesus. Let's talk about, and this was hit on this morning in our Sunday school lesson. I want to hit on 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I'll be done here shortly. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." I'm looking forward to that environment. What about you? I'm looking forward to that climate. What about you? I can walk through my work. I listen to Praise FM right here, but I've got to deliver parts to different areas, and you get all kinds of music through there. And I'll be listening to some of the songs that Mike sings there. I never remember the names of them. Unanswered Prayer, that's a great song. I can listen to that, and I can go 20 feet, and I'm rocking down to ZZ Top, and I go on around. I'm listening to a bar hopping bippity bop, and then something back there is just, whoa! I don't even know what that is. But it stirs different emotions in our bodies. Thank the Lord for that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And this was touched on in our class this morning. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And listen to this right here. "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Man, you can live in that environment. You can live in that climate. Think about that. Think about that. We're not stuck in this world. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. Was just sounded like my testimony. He's telling me, I hate it when I get these thoughts in my head. You know, I tell the Lord I love Him, and he sounds like he's committed to serving Christ, but see, these vile things keep popping in his head, and these things keep making him mad, and this and that and all things. I said, that's not going to stop. That the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and bone, but against powers and principalities of the air. Me and Greg could fight it out, you know, and try to determine it between ourselves. But with Satan, I am so weak, I cannot overcome that. And that's going to be there. He's going to throw that junk at us all the time. But in Jesus' name, say, "Flee from me, Satan." And that works.
Amen.
You have the power of Jesus Christ within you. You have access to the power. We have no power without Christ.
Amen.
But we have access to power to tell Satan to flee from me. And it works. Try that if that's going on in your life. If that is in your climate. And I'm going to finish up. And we talked about this one this morning. And this is awesome. This is going to talk about the eternal climate. This is going to talk about our internal environment. And that's where I want to be. I hope that's where you want to be this morning. And if you're not saved this morning, this is not your environment, but it can be. Jesus right now is standing right here wanting to accept you.
Amen.
Wanting you to accept Him as His Savior. If you'll step out, He'll run to you this morning. He'll come and meet you.
Amen. That's right.
He loves you so much. He died for you. Do you want to change your climate today? Let's read verses 1 through 7 and I'll be done. Said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Do you want to participate in that? Do you want to be in that climate? Do you want to be in that scenario? "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.
Amen.
And God shall wipe away all of our tears." And that means just the heartaches that we go through in this life. The losing of loved ones, the separation, the sickness of a child. There's so much that breaks our heart, but they'll be gone. They'll be wiped away. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, the creator of everything, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is in full control. Without him, there is nothing. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Freely. What a climate to live in. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he will be my son. That's where I want to be.
Amen.
Is that where you want to be this morning? Amen. Teresa, if you want to come and get a song. We got a glimpse of that environment this morning just by reading Revelation chapter 21. I want to go. Do you want to go? Are you ready to go? You can be ready. God made a way. If you're lost in here this morning and don't know Jesus as your Savior, God made a way. You can know Him today personally, and He will know you.